As we transition to the message, we're going through a series called Church 101, and we're looking at the core principles of what it means to be the church. And we're looking at the church in the purest form, looking at the church in Acts, and exploring from God's word what it is about the Church of Acts, what are their core practices, and what are some of the things they are called to do by God, and just apply those to our life as a church, and really to try to tease them into our DNA as a faith community, as we live out God's call of being the church in Christian community, and as we love Him and as we serve in our neighborhood. So very practically, very simply, today's message is called Dare to Dream, and it's simply about dreaming dreams and casting vision, dreaming dreams and casting vision for the kingdom. And I want to read right from God's word in Acts, and I want to invite you to grab your Bibles if you have them handy there. Open up God's word in Acts, starting at chapter 2. Whether you have them on your phone or you have them, oh, beautiful, it's even on the screen. Whether you have it on your phone or your notes or your Bible, like to follow along with me. Acts chapter 2, starting at verse 14. Then Peter stood up with the 11. Just going to move my screen out of the way here so I can read the whole thing. Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice, and addressed the crowd. Fellow Jews, and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These people are not drunk, as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No, so they just received the Holy Spirit of God. And it's Pentecost is happening in the present. So Peter's saying, you're not drunk. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. Next slide, press. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my Spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my Spirit in those last days, and they will prophesy. Continuing on the slide, verse 19, I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day. Continuing on. The day of the Lord, and everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. So very practically, what I want to focus on as we explore God's word today is look at Acts 2, verse 17. When the Holy Spirit comes on the church and individuals at Pentecost, And it's clear that what happens is that people begin to dream dreams and cast vision for the kingdom. And what I want to explore that today and apply it to our lives as Christians, unpacking how we are called, very practically, how we're called to dream dreams and cast vision in keeping with God's word as people who are filled with the Spirit of God today. But before I unpack how we're called to dream and vision as a church, I want to just take 60 seconds to unpack. And I want us to hear this because it's so important to unpack why we as Christians don't always dream and cast vision as we should in the church today. And the reason that we don't, as much as we're called to, is because one simple principle that guides our society. It's one of the key principles that guides our society, and it's a reason that we don't always dream. That principle is called the critical principle, and the critical principle was made normative by the great thinker René Descartes. And Descartes' critical principle says that we can trust in nothing more than human power of logic. So the human power of logic. In other words, the critical principle says that truth is determined through logical progression of study or thought or rationalism. And of course, logic is good, being rational is good. We're called to Christians as Christians to be logical. Our God is logical. But as humans, we often apply our own human logic. And of course, we're called to follow not our own logic, but God's logic. So in our world today, we're guided by this principle, this critical principle that says that we can only accept thought or revelation from humans as the answer to the questions of our society. And here's a little example to illustrate my point and how this works in our society. We need to be so aware of it as we think about what it means to dream and vision. So this spring, our family went on this little walk on the Niagara Escarpment, and we came across a high point on the escarpment that looked over the beautiful escarpment, and the leaves were just starting to come out of the trees, and we see Lake Ontario in the distance. It was just this beautiful scene. It took our breath away, and it was just amazing, beautiful picture. And like any majestic picture that we see in Canada, as we were enjoying the view, I noticed out of the corner of my eye, there was this plaque standing in the picture. And I went over and started to read the plaque. And the plaque was this sign that said, "This escarpment, this beautiful picture that we were looking at, this escarpment is 415 million years old and was formed over millions of years through a process of differential erosion of rocks of different hardnesses." And you've seen these signs before. You've seen them. And then when I see these signs, I always ask the kids, I say, "Is that true? Is that how this beautiful scene of the escarpment and the Lake Ontario and the beautiful creation, is this how this came into being over time and 415 million years ago?" And the kids always say, "No, of course not. We know that God created this. God created it, and there's this beauty and wonder as we look at this beautiful picture." For some reason, our society always wants to say, "Well, we know exactly how this is made, and somebody traveled back in time and they knew that this happened exactly 415 million years ago." Of course, we don't know the answer to these questions in our society. But rationalism and human reason tries to deduce truth for us. Like, how do scientists know how the escarpment was made? Well, simple, they use a principle called the critical principle. Through the power of human reason, people tell us exactly how things are made, or at least how they think they're made. And of course, they don't always know this, but reason says that you have to be able to explain everything, that we have to be able to explain everything in our society. And to come full circle on my point, the critical principle or rationalism has become a criterion for truth in our society. People deduce things based on their human faculties and call it truth. So why don't we dream and cast vision as Christians as much as we should today? Because dreams and visions that are revealed to us by God and His Word are often inexplicable. They cannot be explained, and therefore they're not accepted as truth. Simply because revelation from God cannot be explained with human reason. So divine revelation, in other words, direction from God, dreams and vision from God, have been excluded from public life here in Western culture. It's Leslie Newbegin who said, "Divine revelation has been excluded from public and even private life. We have come to a point where we do not accept divine revelation in a parliamentary debate or in the halls of higher learning," end quote. In other words, if you went to work and you said you had a vision or a dream from God, or you read something in scripture and you brought it to work and you said, I want, and you brought it to your team at work or to your clients, and you said, "I have this great idea that God revealed to me in scripture," you'd be laughed out of the building. You'd be laughed out of work. That's how things work in our culture. Why? Because as a society, we don't accept divine revelation as a criterion for truth. And what I want to say to you in this message today, as we go through Acts, is we need to look to God's word. We need to look to the visions and dreams that He shows us through His word and through His spirit as our criterion for truth. We need to be a counterculture. As Christians, we need to ask God We need to ask God for his divine revelation. The Bible tells us that our criterion for truth exists outside of ourselves. Outside of ourselves, not human reason, rationalism, or the critical principle. Although we can use those faculties, the Bible tells us that our criterion for truth is based on the divine revelation from God. Think of it. Think of it. The whole account of the Old Testament in the Bible is one story after another where God of Israel reveals himself in his will for his people through divine revelation, which includes dreams and visions. Genesis 15, verse 1 says, God appears to Abraham in a vision. It says it right in Genesis 15, verse 1. God appears to Abraham in a vision to give him the covenant promise to him and the nation Israel. And all of Israel's worldview for centuries hinges on that vision, that divine revelation from God. And that divine revelation is the way that they live and act that worldview in their community. And their community is transformed through God's revelation in that covenant. In our text today, we are called in the exact same way as it out through all of Scripture, the Old Testament narrative. We are called today to dream dreams and to accept the dreams and visions from God, with the result being the transformation of our lives in our community. In our text, Peter stands up in front of the crowd and he says, in the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. All people. Very simply, what the text is saying there is the last days are the days after the death and resurrection of Jesus until the return of Christ. After the death and resurrection of Jesus and to the return of Christ. Those are the last days. So the disciples lived in the last days. The early church lived in the last days. The Reformation period was the last days. Today we live in the last days. The age of the last days is a time between the resurrection of Christ and the return of Christ, which is yet to come. So today we're in the last days. So God says in our text, in the last days, that's now, I will pour out my spirit on all people, all those who have faith in Christ, your sons and daughters. Ladies, did you catch that? Ladies, this included you. All your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions, and your old men will dream dreams. Now remember, because we apply the critical principle in our culture, we often may say or are critical of other of dreams from God, because our dreams from God don't always compute in society, because God's visions and dreams are logical to God, but they defy human logic. But God says in the last days, that's now, your young men will see visions, your old men will dream dreams. And you might be wondering, how is the text calling us to dream and cast a vision? And as I thought about that question, I was reminded of something that happened when I was a kid. I remember when I was a kid, I would get on the bus to go to school every day. And I lived on a dairy farm with this long driveway. And my brother and sister and I would wait for this long yellow bus to come down this long road to pick us up. And when I get on the bus, there was, you know, to bring you into the scene, I would get on the bus and sit on those gray seats. Remember those gray seats on the bus with the gray cord along the side, and they had the little cracks in them. And then when you sat down with shorts, they used to pinch the back of your legs, like those gray seats. And I used to sit on there and get on the bus, and it would go down the road, and it would, and the next farm down the road was my friend Rich. And my friend Rich would get on the bus, and he would come sit right down beside me. And as soon as Rich got on the bus, my friend Rich and I would pull out of our backpacks, we pull out blank paper and pencils and pen, and we used to draw out what it would look like what our perfect farm would look like. So we both were born on a dairy farm. We're 8 years old. You have to imagine 8-year-old boys, both lived on a dairy farm. We both wanted to have dairy farms when we grew up. So we would draw this perfect picture of what our farm would look like. We would start with what our dad's farm looked like, and then we'd make additions. We'd draw a little field over here or a new barn we'd want to build. I would draw a little family that I dreamed about having one day. And we would dream and we would talk and we would write lists of the improvements we would want to make and have these dreams about what it would look like to have the perfect farm. And I'm telling you this story because as children, we dream dreams and have visions. Remember what it's like to be a child when we had such wild imagination. Why do we dream so much as children? Because the critical principle doesn't apply to us as kids. We are free to dream, and no one criticizes the dreams of children. And I tell you that story because in the same way in our text today, when God says, your young men and women will see visions and your old men and women will dream dreams, he's saying we are called as God's people to dream as though we're children. We're called to dream as though we were children. So what are those dreams that we're called to have? Very simply, they are kingdom dreams. They're dreams from God, dreams from the heart of God to our heart, dreams for the heart of Scripture into our hearts, dreams from the mind of God into our minds. And we're called to live out those dreams in our community, in our neighborhood. And this, I want to be so practical as I turn a corner to the next part of this message, is I want us to think about this so practically, especially as we imagine what it means to be the church this summer, as we live in our missional communities or small groups, or if we're forced to have smaller gatherings, for us to think about what it means to cast vision and practically how to do that so we can be people who cast vision and dream dreams. So very practically, I want to give a couple points. And the first one is to dare to dream. Very simply, I want to give us permission to dream. Peter says in the text to the church in Acts, he stands up and says, cast dreams, have vision. From the prophet Joel, he recaps this text. And this is actually Peter's first sermon to the church, is to go and have dreams and visions for the kingdom. So I would say, dare to dream. It was Martin Luther King who started with a dream. He didn't start with a critical principle and map everything out perfectly. He had actually a dream from God. He said, I have a dream, even though we face the difficulties of today and tomorrow, I have a dream. It is dream deeply rooted in the American dream. I have a dream that one day this nation will rise up and live out the true meaning of its creed. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal. I have a dream today. Martin Luther King Jr. started with a dream. I want to challenge us as a faith community, as individuals, as families, or in our businesses, in our small groups, in our missional communities, wherever we're situated, to dare to dream. And very practically, how are we called to dream? I would say we should dream just like my friend Rich and I did when we were 8-year-old boys. We just start with a blank sheet of paper and take a pencil and sit together as a group or sit together as a family and ask, what is our present situation and where is God calling us next? Asking God, who are you calling us to be in our neighborhood? God, asking God, how are you calling us to transform? How are you inviting us to participate in your mission in our community? And just being attentive to the heart of God and God's mind, and asking him how he wants to transform our community. So we need to be people who dare to dream. And for us as the table, it's something that we have done consistently. We've spent time dreaming, just saying, know, what do we hope that our community looks like in 5 years? I remember doing this already 5 years ago when we were the Prince of Wales Missional Community. We had this, this wasn't under my leadership. This was just what we did together. We just had this board and we would just write down, what are some of the things that we want to see God transform in our community? And we just listed them out. And those became our dreams. And we did this in the Crucible community. We did this with scripture open, and we did this seeking God's heart in prayer, which brings me to the second point. So the first one is dare to dream. The second one is vision and dreams are always born of God, scripture, and the crucible of Christian community. Our visions and dreams must come from the heart of God, scripture, and community. We're not called to dream in isolation. That could be disastrous. We just like the story of in stories in scripture, when there's dreams and visions that were revealed, they were often tested in community. They were often interpreted. They were brought to people in the community to help understand what God was saying. So in the same way, when we cast vision and dream dreams, they come from the heart of God, scripture, and Christian community. And the third point is, and this is a personal favorite of mine, is we need to have a common vision. So whether it's a church or a ministry or a board or a missional community or our family, whatever it might be, this is something that I feel so strongly about, that we need to have a common vision. Even we look in the Church of Acts, where it said they had everything in common, and we can be sure that as God gave them dreams and visions, that common vision was what characterized them. They had a common vision. You know, as the church, we're not like the hot dog and hot dog bun company, who can't figure out how many buns to put in a pack and how many hot dogs to put in a pack, where they're making the hot dogs 10 feet long and the buns only 6 inches long. Like, they can't get their stuff together. They're not on the same page. It's frustrating. We're not like that. The church is an organism called by God to have a unified vision and working together on that mission and vision. And as we live out the vision, we stay focused. We stay focused on that vision. You know, people may bring new ideas to the group. People might bring new ideas to the church, but they're always held up to the vision. So just because something is a new idea doesn't mean it's a great idea or that we're going to adopt it. We're always holding up to the vision, and we're always opening up before God and saying, God, is this what you're calling us to do? So we're called three points. We're called to dare to dream. We're called, vision is born of God, scripture, and community. We're called to a common vision. And then I want to end on this, and it's called the kingdom principle. And the kingdom principle is that when dreams and visions are from God, and this is right from Acts 2, verse 21, when dreams and visions are from God, the end result of living out our dreams in a committed way, the end result of our dreams, of us serving and be obedient to living out God's vision, the end result will always be that people will call on the name of the Lord and be saved in the name of Jesus Christ as a result of what we're doing. Right out of Acts 2, verse 21, Peter says that you're called to cast dreams and have vision. In verse 21, as a result of what you're doing, people will call on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. No, I can't help but think about small groups, not in this church, not in the Village Church, but others that I've come across that have become inward focused and they've met for 25 years, and it's still exactly the same group of people. They've never invited anyone else to join them. They've never seen transformation in anyone's life. They've been together for 25 years, and maybe God's doing something there, but I look at that and wonder and say, in 25 years that you've been meeting, not a single person has called on the name of the Lord, has been saved as a result of what you're doing. I would question whether you're living out God's dream and vision for the group. So that would be the place where I end the message and just say, as we receive vision and we receive dreams from God in His Word, that the defining principle for us, the kingdom principle, is that as a result of our dreams and visions, when they're from God, He will call them, He will call people to know Him so that they can be saved through Christ. Because that is, after all, is God's dream. God is one who dreams. He is the one who has visions, and His dream and vision is that the world would know the love of Christ and be saved. Let's pray. God, we first and foremost want to confess that so often we have excluded Your divine revelation from our life and from public life. It's frightening to think about praying and receiving vision from Scripture or receiving dreams from You and taking them into the public arena and calling it truth. We kind of balk at that. And God, we just want to confess that for too long we've relied on our own human faculties of thought and reason and excluded Your dreams and visions and Your revelation from Scripture. We've excluded it from our life and public life. And God, we want to ask for forgiveness for that. And we thank You for the forgiveness that You give us in Christ, where You always say that we are forgiven and we have Your grace and mercy through Christ. So we're sorry that we excluded Your divine revelation from private life, public life. And God, as we confess, we want to turn a corner and say, God, we want to be a people who dream dreams and cast vision for the kingdom. God, we want to be a people who dare to dream. God, we want to be a people who start with a blank piece of paper and say, this is our present reality. This is our current situation. And God, we want You to show us, according to Your word, how You want to transform our lives and community. God, help us to be a people who dream and cast vision. And God, we pray too that we would have a common vision, a common dream. God, You say in Your word that we will be recognized as Your church when we're unified. May we be a church who's unified on Your vision. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.